Stand back! There's a hurricane coming through!
Paul Kuharsky from PaulKuharsky.com with us for the next hour, talking all things Tennessee Titans. We welcome your questions at 615-737-1025.
That music was initially tagged to me by Frank Wycheck. And Frank Wycheck died 2 years ago yesterday, which seems...
That's hard to believe.
Yeah, it's hard to believe it was that long ago. So, rest in peace, bud.
Yep, absolutely. 2 years ago yesterday. Hard to believe on that front. PK, I want to get your thoughts on this before we get back into the Titans. What do you make of Philip Rivers at age 44 coming back to the National Football League? He's on the practice squad now with the Colts. I assume he's going to be in there playing in games coming up. Otherwise, I don't know why he'd be doing this. So you've got the quarterback situation in Andy. Daniel Jones is gone the rest of the year. Riley Leonard, his status for this week, uncertain. What do you make of 44-year-old Philip Rivers, who's not played in the NFL since 2020, giving it another go?
It's just crazy to me. There's no one 4 years out of the league that's better, or 3 years out of the league, or 2 years out of the league that wants to come out of retirement and play. They got to go 5 years out of the league.
Who throw some names out.
Well, Tannehill's the first one that comes to mind, and clearly didn't want to play. But I've got a Hall of Fame ballot that trims 26 guys to 15 that's due on Monday, and he's on it. Now, this is in flux because here's the crazy part. He's on a practice squad. And as long as he's activated off the practice squad, it doesn't count as him being an active NFL player. He gets the stats and all of that, but he needs to be on the quote-unquote active roster in order to disqualify himself from Hall of Fame eligibility.
So, wait, you're saying that they can – so they can, like, elevate him each week and it won't count?
Yeah, until he's on the active roster.
But he will be, right? I don't know.
Yeah, I guess an elevation on Sunday to play puts him on the active roster. But he's also not on the 53. So I still think there's some complications there. But we've been told we may have a ballot. He may be off the – if he makes the 15 and then plays, we may have a 14-person ballot when we go to the thing.
Jeez.
It should be weird. Now, I don't know that he's making it because just amongst quarterbacks, there's Manning and Breeze. So
is he a Hall of Famer in your mind? Philip Rivers.
I think he's borderline.
Okay. I know. So there's a borderline. So is he yes or is he no?
I don't know.
Put yourself on which side of the border?
I don't know yet.
What else you need? Are you going to do a deep dive? Are you going to watch some film? What are we doing here?
More conversations and research.
If he wins, if he gets them the playoffs, wins a playoff game, then the
case is over, baby.
Over the top.
I mean, seriously.
Yeah, and he's a Hall of Famer in 2030.
That's fine. He may have to wait longer, but at least he knows he's getting in.
I don't understand. I mean, I guess
imagine the ceremony when he gets in.
It's very weird to want to come back. He did not look good at the end 5 years ago.
It's like, wow, this entire crowd is Philip Rivers' immediate family. Imagine that. Good grief. Got a billion children out here in the crowd.
But, I mean, Drew Brees is in his first year of eligibility, too. I would have gone to him first.
Yeah.
Yeah?
I would say so.
I mean, obviously there's the – we talked about yesterday, the Steichen thing. I didn't know this. Apparently, you know, like the offense that he coaches is this offense. Right.
I'm not one to suggest that Titans fans should be sympathetic about the Colts. But the Colts season, I mean, these people thought they were going to the AFC Championship game. And now
– they're probably not making the playoffs.
They're definitely not making the playoffs.
They're a 13.5-point dog this weekend, by the way.
The Jags and the Texans have blown by them in terms of quality football team. It's really something.
I'm hoping for some news later in the week, though, that he's going to play. Because I will watch. I will watch Philip Rivers play the Seattle Seahawks, at least for a little bit.
I mean, how do you not – I understand if Titans fans are going to say, what? Or what are you talking about? But how, if you're, like, unaffiliated, how are you not a Colts fan?
Oh.
You know.
Highly rated game, too. On. I mean, I would get that on some TVs.
It's fascinating. Yeah, because you're right. Like, Breeze – I mean, you'd think there's plenty of other people who aren't mid-40s, right?
Yeah.
Who, like the Flacco thing was, you know, was something that worked out really well for the Browns. But I don't know. He says he's in the. He says he's in better shape than when he was.
Yeah, I saw that stuff. I was like, really?
That. Out there that doing those speak old man well workouts?
To the type of shape he was in when he was playing, does it?
No.
He's gotten a 44 and he's in the best shape.
He's hitting Planet Fitness. You know, he's out. He's carrying grandbabies around. I don't know.
Alex Smith, milking Ryan cows. Fitzpatrick, Ben Roethlisberger, Matt Ryan. Chase Daniel,
they've
Nick
already failed
Foles,
with Matt Ryan,
AJ McCarron.
Well, I mean, you're naming some people that were never good.
Well, I'm saying they're younger. I think they would be more healthy, more spry.
You never know, man.
I'm scared death of what's going to happen to him if he gets hit.
I am too. I mean, they have a pretty good offensive line, but it only takes one.
Yeah.
He's not scrambling. I think he would be pretty much taking a knee. laying
like,
down.
Wow, he just
like,
fell down.
Was it Favre that laid down for Strahan?
Yes.
Yeah, it plays like that.
Yeah.
I mean, Peyton, or he's throwing the ball away constantly.
Peyton was pretty good at dropping, too. Like, yeah. I am not about to take this hit. I'm just going to fall down.
Yeah.
Hey, got to do what you got to do sometimes,
That's
man.
That's fine.
Got to do what you got to do. PK, we were having the head coaching conversation earlier. We're just a few weeks away from this getting full-fledged and us finding out who the next head coach of the Tennessee Titans is going to be. It's been a long process to this point. It fired Brian Callahan a long time ago at this point. So we know that still some time before a decision gets made. As this process has gone on, as the year has played out, as some of the candidates we've talked about have more of a body of work with their current jobs right now, where do you kind of come down on where things stand in your mind on the Titans head coaching search, and have you had any change of heart as to where you think the Titans should go as we sit here now about a month out from this getting real?
Well, I think the Tomlin thing is, sir, I heard you guys talking about it when I was driving in. That would change the dynamic, if not for the Titans, you know, for the market. I think, you know, he's the culture and the leadership is of a different caliber. He hasn't had a quarterback in a good while, which is an organizational failing that he's part of. But the thing, you know, and we're not in Pittsburgh, but the complaint doesn't seem to trickle to Omar Khan, who replaced Kevin Colbert and has not done good work there in terms of stocking that roster. So, you know, I think Mike Tomlin is a very good head coach who maintains a consistent level of success, and you're disappointed that that success doesn't go further. I understand that. But if you had a chance at that guy, you'd be crazy not to take your best swing. Thing is, he's used to very steady, very smart football ownership. And this is the
steadiest in sports.
This is the opposite of that.
Yeah. Right, yeah. I mean, if you're him and you're out there, like I have no idea if he's going to be out there or not. I mean, I think that there's a decent percentage chance, but even if he is, the percentage chance of him being here, like right now, if you just, I mean, it's 0.003. Like,
it's very low.
Well, yeah. I mean, let's
he's rate not going to be the Titans.
Let's
coach.
Rate the jobs. I mean, is he going to be the Arizona coach? Is he going to be the Giants coach? The Giants used to have ownership that was somewhat like Pittsburgh.
Is there ownership? Is there ownership like an issue though? The Giants, yeah. The Maras. I mean,
the Maras have been hiring all these idiot coaches that they've had for since Coughlin.
Well, I mean, was Daboll a bad hire? I mean, it didn't work out. I don't think it was a bad hire.
Before that, Judge, Shermer, those are some bad hires.
Yeah, I still think that if you're talking about comparing just ownership.
Well, they might be smart enough to hire him and back off.
It's not the Jets, you know.
Yeah, they might be smart enough to hire him and back off. But does he want to go to New York?
Well, that's the thing. So if he's comparing New York and this job, isn't it largely about the QB and your belief in the QB?
I think it's largely about the QB, and then I think it's about do you want to deal with New York? And I mean, he's certainly equipped.
I don't think he gives a crap
to deal with New York, but does he want to deal with it? It's an interesting question. What else is going to open? You know, help me out. I'm off the top of my head. I'm not doing
possibly that. The Saints,
Cleveland.
Possibly Cleveland, yep. Which, of course, that would be.
Saints aren't going to open after a year, are they? Atlanta?
I wouldn't think so, but there's a chance.
Yeah, probably. Look, and I said this earlier, and I don't know what the percentage chance is, but, you know, Andy Reid is 67 years old. People have been talking about whether or not he's going to retire for like 5 years. So is this the year that he does? And if he does retire, what does that mean for where they look at coach? Atlanta.
Cincinnati, maybe.
Yep. Cincinnati. I mean, Tampa Bay, I think the way that they've faded, if they end up out of the playoffs, I think that's possible.
He can't get them over the top. Todd Bowles is not a Super Bowl coach in my eyes. So I think that's a problem. But it's not an attractive slate.
What about Caris Carroll going to be a one and done? As bad as that is?
Yeah, but he wouldn't go to the Raiders. I mean, that's a bleep show.
Yeah.
I mean, I think that one, above all else, is a non-Mike Tomlin job. But look, it'd be very interesting. It'd be very interesting to work with, obviously. The standard is the standard and all of his kind of cliched and prompt. And who was it I was with the other day? He'll say something like, you can't eat ice cream with a fork. Now let's go get to work. Just stuff like that would be kind of interesting to deal.
It would be. 615-737-1025, our phone number. We'll get more into the Titans coaching search coming up next. Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5 The Game. Preds fans, Smashville Live returning tonight at 6 o'clock on 102.5 The Game, live from Brewhouse 100 in Bellevue. Luke Evangelista, Nick Blankenberg, the guest tonight. That's tonight at Brewhouse 100 in Bellevue and only on 102.5 The Game. Paul Kuharski with us here on the program talking Titans and the coaching search that is imminently around the corner for the Tennessee Titans. Jeff asking if we believe the Titans have a realistic chance of landing a good, established, proven head coach until the team has new ownership. Well, they're not going to have new ownership.
What is that?
So
the team has new ownership.
I think it all comes down to how do you view the quarterback? How do you view overall kind of the young nucleus that the Titans are trying to build here? And I threw this question out there earlier, and I don't think it's a huge factor, but how important, PK, would the number one pick be to you if you're a coach out there where you know with the number one pick you're not taking a quarterback this year, I would assume. You have an opportunity maybe with the number one pick to trade back, collect more assets, and maybe build the roster a little bit quicker if that's what you're able to do. Right now the Titans would not have the number one overall pick after their win in Cleveland. So does that factor into this at all? Do you think the number one pick makes the job any more attractive to one of those head coaches that Jeff is talking about out there?
I mean, it certainly doesn't hurt. You want to be able to sell the guy as much as you can, but that doesn't mean you're aspiring to get it. I mean, he knows he's going to get a high-ranking player or potential trade down to get more draft capital, whether you're trading down from one or potentially two. It's too early to say and to know exactly what they're going to have. So, it's a factor. All of it's a factor. You know, what is the package that you're selling to a new head coach? But, I mean, I don't think it's a chief thing. I think, this head coach, Mike Herndon, wrote a really good piece late last week at my site, toot my site's horn, about how fast you can turn things around with the right head coach. You know, a lot of these guys have done quick work without huge influxes of talent.
But have they taken over places as bad as this in terms of talent? That'd be my question.
Maybe not as bad as this, but not good. And even Matt Nagy, who, his overall tenure there is not regarded as good, but it wasn't as bad as people think. But first year in Chicago was a pretty dramatic turnaround. Vrabel's doing it now. Steichen did it. If I could get into this damn thing, I could tell you more of the people on his list. But
Sean Payton has done it in Denver.
Yeah, it's not that uncommon if you find the right guy to have something dramatic happen without a massive influx of people.
So, okay, but let's go through
Dan Quinn did it.
Yeah. Now, but again, let's go through all those situations. Dan Quinn did it. They did have a really good offseason of like like they plugged a lot of holes quickly, and Jaden Daniels was insane last year. Okay, I mean, again, Steichen did it, but like the Colts have had some talent in place. Vrabel doing it right now. He's got one of the bright young quarterbacks in the game.
I think Vrabel's a good example, though.
But they've got talent on D, man. Like they,
yeah, but yeah. Drake May. Like, I'm not saying that Cam Ward is Drake May, and I've raised this several times, but Drake May did not play up to expectations last year. He didn't have a good coaching situation and everything. They gave him better people. They adjusted things a little bit around him, and he's taken off. Now, I'm not saying Cam's going to be equivalent, but I'm saying Cam could conceivably follow a similar path on a lesser level.
Yeah, right. I'm just saying I still would argue that – that they have a lot more talent than the Titans. Now, you know, Titans have an off season to go with all this too, right? So if they have a great draft and they have a great free agency period to go with the new coach and the culture, you know, then yeah, that's why the NFL can turn around so quickly. But it would have to be a whole bunch of hits and very few misses between now and the start of next year.
Well, and look, the last Wisenhunt Malarkey team was bereft of talent. And, you know, jump to 9 wins in a season. And Mike Malarkey.
Ben Jones, Jack Conklin, right? DeMarco Murray.
But the Patriots didn't. I mean, the Patriots didn't have talent last year. That roster was horrible.
McVay
and then they spent a ton
of money
did it in the
first year. Also, the other guys he mentioned, McVay, Ryans, you know.
Yeah.
So it happens. You know, the blueprint for a fast Titans turnaround is there if you hire the right guy. And I'm not saying they're going to go from 2 wins to 9 wins, but those 6 wins we were talking about this year, that should show up next year unless they blow it.
But like you just said, so yeah, yes, right hire with what the Patriots did, what the Texans did with their personnel. Right. Like you have to have both, right? I'm just saying you can't isolate like a coach comes in here. I would argue put any coach with this group that's over there right now, I don't care. Name your coach. Name your coach in whatever era.
Mike Vrabel this year?
Yeah. What's he do?
With this roster, he wins more than 2 games.
Okay. But he wins 4 or 5? Because he did lose 18 of his last 24 here.
Yeah. He wins 4 or 5, I think. Yeah. Don't you?
I mean, I would give him a couple more. Yeah. But that's a good example. I'm just saying, like there's a limitation, right?
No, absolutely. But that string of games where they lost by 3, 7, and 6 or whatever, the Chargers, whoever it was, Seattle, those 3 games where it was like, oh, they're playing better. I think a Mike Vrabel team finds a way to win at least one of those games, right? They find a way to run the ball more consistently than this team has. Look, I'm a Vrabel guy, pure and simple.
Yes, you are.
Yep.
Well, we hadn't done this in a while, so your number one target right now, if you had to pick right now, if you had your pick of the litter of who was going to be the next Titans coach, Joe, let's start with you. Who would it be?
Well, okay, but are we – does that include
– Let's take Tomlin out of it.
Hypotheticals?
Let's take Tomlin and Harbaugh out of it.
Yeah. God, the thing is, I've actually been with Kaharski on the whole Stefanski thing, and then I'm watching these 2-point things, and then him.
Well, let's talk about the 2-point thing real quick. I don't agree with the philosophy, but the philosophy is 50-50 chance on that. So you're going to get one of the two. The thinking is you're going to get one of the two. If you get the first one, then you kick the extra point on the second one, and you win.
That is the math part of it. Yes.
Yeah, I mean, I understand.
The actual play call itself.
There is a logic to it.
Yeah, I understand the reasoning. I hate it.
The play call
and
itself
the play call on the second
horrific.
One is horrific.
Yeah. Yeah. But then he also said, yeah, you know, we might be going to go back to Dylan Gabriel, which then he amended quickly the next day. But are we counting him? Is he also out of the conversation?
I'd count him.
He's hypothetical.
I'd make him hypothetical. Say, give your first choice if people are fired and your first choice if people aren't fired.
I'll stick with Saleh. I mean, I still think he's really good. I think he is a culture guy. I understand the hesitation because there was everything went wrong with the Jets and he did not handle it well. But I think him with a good OC would be a good choice. And again, then you get into the so you're bringing a good OC who's going to be around for a while or not. But I think I'd stick with that. I mean, there's nobody out there that – like, I don't hate Nagy as a possibility. I don't hate that. Maybe as the Arthur Smith stuff fade a little bit, I don't know. I don't really care that much that he's been here before. I'm not sure on him as a head coach. I guess for me, it's like Saleh to me is. I just feel like he's destined to be a Vrabel-like head coach somewhere, and of course the Titans are interested in someone like Vrabel, right? So give me Robert Saleh.
Okay.
I hate for us to be on the same page, but I like him as well. I think he's popular in coaching circles and will be able to draw a pretty good staff. And I think he's McVay adjacent in some way, shape, or form. He knows Mike LaFleur, who I think he could get. And so you want that. And I think he's got the personality for it. I think he's probably learned a lot out of that first experience and would revise his failures. And so he's a front runner for me. But I reserve the right to change my mind and evolve.
I would go Nagy at number one. I think, as PK mentioned, his tenure in Chicago is better than people think it is. Like he's largely dealing with Mitch Trubisky, which not great. So he would be my number one. I'll tell you another one that I would actually put over Saleh, but I don't think is going to happen because of everything that's swirling around him right now with the NFL. I know it's a tough year for the Vikings because of the quarterback play largely. Brian Flores is a good coach, and I would put him over Saleh. That's just me. But I don't think there's any shot of that happening.
I'm interested.
I think he's a little bit of a wild card, man. He is incredible DC, but I just wonder if he's like just should be a DC. I don't know, man. He's just like some of the stuff in Miami, even some of the stuff with Tua, and I know Tua's not great, but I mean he hated his guts.
He did.
You know? I don't know. I just feel like there's Saleh's a little more stable.
I think my kind of wild card would be Clint Kubiak.
Yep.
The Seattle offensive coordinator who's doing really good work there. I'm falling in love with the Seahawks. I think the Seahawks right now to me are my Super Bowl favorite. Good bloodlines. I know a lot of people say, "Oh, not another Nepo." I mean, I never thought of Brian Callahan as a Nepo guy, and I don't think of Clint Kubiak as a Nepo guy. But I like the idea of him if you're looking for offense.
615-737-1025, our phone number. We'll take your thoughts on the Titans head coaching search. A lot more on the Titans to get into with PK coming up next as well. Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5 The Game. Welcome back in. Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5 The Game. Taking your thoughts on our phone and text lines driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Starting tomorrow between noon and 3, Chase and Big Joe will have your chance to win a $100 Moments Peace Salon and Day Spa gift card and qualify to win a $1,000 Genesis Diamonds gift card as well. It's the 12 days of Christmas on 102.5 The Game. Paul Kuharski with us here on the program. Tommy on the text line says, hire Mike McCarthy. He's done it with two teams. And screw going for any of those coordinators. He knows how to win games. Us fans are sick of this mess that we're in right now. None of us mentioned McCarthy on our list there.
I think he's a little bit of a dinosaur. I mean, I think he could get you to a certain level. And I know he's won a Super Bowl. I just think new and fresh has a certain importance. But fresh.
Yeah. Wes from Herbert says, if Saleh couldn't turn the inept Jets around, how in the world would he turn this team around?
Huh? He was handcuffed by Aaron Rodgers and a conceivably more inept meddling owner.
I mean, tell me who's been able to turn the Jets around, you know? Like
Rex Ryan for a little bit.
Yeah, so let's go back to 2009. I mean, you know, yeah, obviously it didn't work out there. I mean, but to me, it's more like, can the Titans be turned around? Now, again, not saying Saleh would definitely do it, but I don't think the Jets' experience for him is disqualifying, and I think the NFL feels that way too.
Yeah, I mean, he's going to be a big candidate in this cycle.
Well, and he's done well for himself going back to San Francisco, and they have, yes, you know, Kyle Shanahan has done a great job this year, and they've been navigating through injuries at quarterback.
But they also, I mean, defensively have played pretty well, and they've not had Nick Bosa. And that's a huge deal, losing that guy as your pass rusher. So I think the job that he's done this year, they're at 9-4 right now. By the way, we'll get a firsthand look at him this weekend in that defense. We'll see how it goes. 12.5-point favorite are the San Francisco 49ers. But I think the job that he has done in the aftermath of the Jets, and frankly, the more separation people get from the Jets around the league, it's like, well, look, Rodgers came back and looks like he's got a clue in Pittsburgh how to play quarterback still. Like, it's there is a Jets tax that's out there.
Well, it's kind of like people leaving the Titans and all of a sudden they're
they'll rehabilitate.
They're good. Someone's asking about Jim Schwartz. Well, the Titans just dunked on him. Are they going to make Saleh look bad this week? All these possible candidates, are you going to embarrass them with Mike McCoy's fantastic game plans? Maybe.
That's one of the things about Stefanski, who I like. But, I mean, you'd have a real hard time. And I know they can't base it on this. But ladies and gentlemen, our new coach, Kevin Stefanski, who we beat.
Yeah.
With the terrible team we're giving him to take over, we beat him.
Yeah. I think that'd be tough.
Right. It's like Hunter Yurachek at Arkansas can at least say, hey, the Memphis coach I just hired, he just beat us this year. So sure, like, that's good. Also, here, let me give you some more college football playoff explanations.
How about this
Thank you, Hunter.
This is an interesting one that we've not thought a lot about. But when you really dive into it, it could happen. Joe, we talked earlier this week looking at the AFC. It feels like if Buffalo's not going to do it now, when are they going to do it? So let's say they have an early postseason exit, and they say, you know what? We got to fire Sean McDermott. Would he be high on your list?
Yeah, I'd be high on my list, yeah.
I think so, too. I don't see how you wouldn't give him very serious examination. Now, I think his time could be up there. Joe Brady, on the other hand, who people are hot about, I'm not interested in at all. I mean, people pass through Buffalo, and they do well with a MVP quarterback. Whoa. I mean, Joe Brady moved around a lot before that.
But people could say that about McDermott, too, right?
Yeah. But, I mean, McDermott's coached a team around Josh Allen for an extended period of time.
Right. Like, I like him, but I'm just saying that's where it gets hard with the coordinators because I hear you. I hear what you're saying. And, look, Daboll ended up being some weird stuff with Daboll and, like, some of his coordinators and all that stuff. Like, he's a little bit out there. But – I still think he also, deserved credit for what he did at Buffalo. I think he still got pretty good play early out of Daniel Jones, who was struggling when he got – you know what I mean? Like, I don't think that Daboll was, a bad hire, a bad coach. I mean,
he's got a hot temper.
Yeah, that's probably the issue.
Yeah, it's a personality thing.
Keep him out of the injury tent.
Went into the injury tent. That was bad. Bad.
Jackson, get out here!
We can't go with this backup.
I'm going to have to play Russell Wilson if you don't get out on the 10.
Hey, doctors, take the quarter off, okay? Yeah.
Coffee break for the medical staff.
Yeah, we just need a couple series. Then you can go, then you look at his head again.
That's pretty good.
Oh, man. Good grief. On the offensive line front, we've spent a lot of time basically getting all over J.C. Latham the last few weeks. I thought a nice response, not only from the entire line, but from him as well in this game. I think the PFF, he was credited with surrendering two pressures and one sack in the game, but a 79 in the pass blocking grade. If you care at all about what PFF grades had to say, I'm interested to see if he can do it again, but it would be very nice if the Cleveland game, if nothing else on the offensive line, is a turning point for him, because boy, do they need that.
That was a strong effort by J.C. Latham. We've been all over him. He deserves credit there for sure. And, again, hope it's the start of something. You know, it's a couple plays a game that really get emphasized. You know, and that's all it takes for an offensive lineman to have a bad game. We know that.
Yep.
But his look really bad, and then they get on Twitter and they get replayed and – does it get over-magnified? I'm asking that question. I'm maybe a part of doing that. But they need him to be steadier and not to make those plays that we're talking about at crucial times or for those to be the pivotal plays in a game.
Yeah. I didn't go through the film, watch the game. I didn't think he was special or anything in this game. But like you said, if you don't have the
– He didn't lose.
You don't have the brutal mistakes like he's been making, then it's improvement. The PFF thing is just, you know, good or bad. Because, again, Mandor seems to me
no
like –
No respect.
Seems to me like he did all right, you know.
He did all right.
But the PFF just dogged
him.
He
sucked.
Ripped him. What did your guy get into? I want betting field grades. I don't want PF. I want betting field to take it a step further and give me grades, individual grades on offensive linemen.
Tough of a request, given that he turns it around quickly.
Pass that
so
along.
PFF has grades like as soon as the game ends.
Yeah, and that's part of why Stupid. We don't like PFF.
Yes, well, that's true.
Is Jeffrey Simmons going to be an All-Pro this year? He's playing like that.
Should be.
He does play for the Tennessee Titans on a horrible team. So where do you think that all adds up?
I mean, he's third in fan voting at defensive tackle, and we don't trust the fans. How about the fans who have Kevin Zeitler inside the top 10,
sure.
but not Peter Skoronski?
Yeah, that's a good one.
Fans are idiots.
Just across the board, broad brush. What about who's
I mean,
ahead
that's
of,
pretty egregious.
That's pretty bad. Who's ahead of DK at returner? Do you know? Because he's second, right?
I don't know. I think it might be Turpin, living on reputation. But I'm not certain. I do have access to it, but it would take me a while to get to it. And I don't want to do your thing where
it would take a while.
5 minutes while I sort through my email.
No, we can talk while you do it. I mean, it should take you seriously 10 seconds. Like, I bet you I could actually do this on the air.
Well, go ahead. You
in about
do
15
it.
Seconds.
You do it.
Okay. So, Robbie, what's our next topic?
Well, I mean, whatever you want it to be. We got all things on time.
I just want you guys to speak amongst yourselves, you know.
I've got it.
Are we timing you?
This out.
Because
I think we're about at 12 right now.
Return specialist, Turpin. It's Turpin.
Okay, there you go.
See? You said it would take a while. Duvernay. I was just testing you, and you passed.
Duvernay behind him.
Turpin's still pretty good.
We were about 13 seconds deep there, and I don't know if Rex Road had even logged in to like whatever he was trying to get
it's
to.
It's weird I mean, from what I checked, there's still an AFC team, quote-unquote, and an NFC team, but the fan voting is not divided in AFC and NFC.
There you go.
All of it is.
Explain it all to me.
Well, we should just do like all pro voting.
No, just elect two Pro Bowl teams and then never add an alternate ever. Or don't distinguish the alternate as or distinguish him as an alternate.
Yeah.
Like in his Pro Football Reference bio, I need it to have a pineapple, but say pineapple six.
Yeah.
Meaning he's the sixth quarterback. When Tyler Huntley is a Pro Bowl.
He will forever be known as a Pro Bowl
quarterback.
I
need it to say Pineapple 8. You know? If it's a Pineapple 1, then it kind of has some meaning. But a Pineapple 8 is a joke.
What's your obsession with pineapples?
Well, pineapple
you guys
used
put
to
that
be
on
that,
your door?
Well, no, because, yeah. I'm a big swinger.
I know. I'm just wondering why you don't want pineapples.
Clip it.
Yeah, that's going to haunt me. When they used to use pineapples in media guides, or good media guides use them to distinguish. And the Pro Bowl, as you know, Joe, used to be in Hawaii.
Hawaii, yes.
And pineapples are big in Hawaii.
Great. I really didn't know that. That's weird. But I'm glad you know all about the pineapples
swinger
on the front porch, though.
So I put a pineapple one time on my neighbor's porch. After like 3 weeks after we had a conversation about the meaning of pineapple, I put it on my neighbor's porch as a gag, like 8 o'clock one evening, and I was like, I've got to put this on a porch, see how long it lasts there, try to send out a signal on their behalf, you know, do the whole thing. And then like nothing happened, no comments or anything. And so like 2 months later, I asked about it, and his daughter took it in like with some groceries.
Oh, cool.
A nice pineapple. I just thought it was amongst the food they had delivered.
You started telling
totally
that story.
Totally backfired.
You started telling that story, and I was like, this has real potential.
Somebody's going to show up to the front porch.
Totally backfired.
Oh, what are you guys
They probably
doing?
Chopped it up and had it in a fruit salad.
Hey, guys, you guys need a plumber? I was just in the neighborhood.
I'm sure this conversation will resurface at some point. One more segment with PK coming up next. Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5 The Game. Welcome back in. Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5 The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Paul Kuharski, Ian Safar here with you.
on this Wednesday morning.
Look at that line.
Big day in Lebanon today. In and out opening up.
I just drove past that like a week ago, too. And I was like, when does it open? No,
several.
Today.
It's funny. In California,
people standing in line for it.
In California, the line is in cars where the weather's nice. And here, they've created it where it's cold, that the line is in human beings.
Yeah, like, is there not a drive-thru?
I'm sure there is. I don't know.
But people have to line up and freeze and wait for the...
Big day around here.
Good burger.
Great burger.
Love it. Still a fast food burger. Just saying.
Yeah.
So you're not going to be in line? That's what you're saying?
No, I'll wait like 2 days.
His son's getting home on Sunday, and their quest for the best burger, they're going to go.
There you go.
Friday.
I've set some rules for the boy when he gets home, but Joe's not Joe's not accepting.
Oh, yeah.
No, Katie, I think we should talk on the phone. I've got some stuff for you. And Joe's ignoring it.
No. I'm here for. Go ahead. Send me all your suggestions. We'll implement some rules.
You seem really not willing to take my advice.
I mean, we'll try, man. We'll try.
Let me ask you this. This is a play.
It seems enforcement's a problem.
Well, could be. Could be.
Could be.
We have not talked about this play, Joe. I want to get PK's thoughts on it too. Xavier Woods gets the flag on the play that knocked out Cedric Tillman on Sunday. And if you look at the replay, and Schlereth was talking about this on the broadcast too, I don't really know what Xavier Woods is supposed to do on that play. Like, I thought it was a pretty clean hit, and then the flag gets thrown on the play. Anyway, what did you make of that play, PK?
I think it's a harsh penalty. I don't expect there'll be a fine to go with it. We talked to John Fossil yesterday. He's the guy that tells us if things were judged to be fair enough. We should have asked him about that, though it wasn't a special teams play. NFL officiating is just horrible across the board. People think it's Titans-specific. It is not. But there were four calls from the Jaguars game that were not penalties, that were fines for the Jaguars.
Yep.
I mean, that's outrageous. Outrageous.
I mean, NFL officiating, it's not perfect. I don't know if I'd agree that it's horrible, that it's just straight-up horrible. And, again, this is probably – it's all relative when you're coming from college football to the NFL because – There is some college officiating that is really problematic.
Well, just because college officiating is really problematic doesn't put me on a sliding scale for the NFL.
I understand. I think that I think it's okay. What do you think?
I think it's okay. I mean, they inexplicably sometimes miss calls when they're, and it's one. I know you're going to miss calls. But then you look at the replay, and it's like, wow, the official's looking right at the play, and he still missed it.
Yeah.
And that just boggles my mind.
I understand it's very hard. Like, I would have no chance in real time to judge things correctly. So I think we underestimate the difficulty of it,
yes.
But I think they should use the box more. And I understand that that opens up the potential for scandal, but I think they can find a way to do it transparently and cleanly. The ACC, I watched a little bit of the ACC game where they went to replay and everything's open mic. I mean, just find ways. It's 2025. You can be transparent and get calls right and be accurate.
Do
everything at the expense of accuracy.
Well, and be relatively speedy in the process too.
Yeah.
Because the NFL, to their credit, other than I guess the Titans game on Sunday, has done a pretty good job of nailing down that window of how long a game is going to last, and I don't want to see that change.
Yeah. They huddle forever.
Yeah, unlike college football there, too. By the way, though, Big 12 is doing the ACC thing, and they are next year going to have open it up so people can hear the discussions. They should all do it. Again,
the ACC one I saw was spectacular.
Yeah.
They synced up two different videos to the same time. Where's the ball? Where's the foot? Bang, boom.
You know, you got guys in the booth there. Like, don't swear, okay? You know, like you're on live TV. Other than that, let's go. Well, there's no reason that everybody shouldn't do it. Looking at you, SEC. Looking at you, Greg Sankey.
Yeah.
How about a little transparency?
I am all with you. So how do we expect the San Francisco game to go on Sunday? Can the Titans follow it up? Back-to-back good efforts.
Look, I'll believe the Titans could follow something up when I see the Titans follow something up. I mean, that's generally my policy with this team on everything. I believe they can do something right repeatedly when they do something right repeatedly.
I got to say, just the running, like you said earlier, running the football, it is what I thought they'd be good at this year. I thought they'd have a chance to be pretty good at it, and that that would just help everything else, you know, kind of come along. And it's obviously been terrible, and it was just great on Sunday. And so I do wonder if, like, that in particular is something that you could find momentum with. I mean, we've been talking about Pollard, you know, and probably, you know, a little tread off the tires here. But maybe they can replicate that. You know?
Well, I was saying he was a 10-carry guy largely because he was a 10-carry guy.
Yeah.
Well, apparently if you get him more carries, he can do something more with it. But I'm not convinced they can get him more carries. And I don't know. You know, I think the Browns had an especially awful day, not to discredit Tony Pollard, but Jim Schwartz didn't have a good day.
Tony Pollard should not run for 65-yard touchdowns in an NFL game.
No.
All due respect to him.
He doesn't have second-level speed by any means.
But we just saw him do it.
25 carries. Let's try it again.
Any given Sunday, Joe. Any given Sunday.
That's way. Go out on a cliche. I like that.
Yeah.
Got any more?
Well,
when the going get tough?
We're not
going
to see that in any of the first-round playoff games. We know that.
That's true.
Don't block the box. Be sure to lock the locks. I left Ian a little present for you that hopefully will grace your show tomorrow. And I'll be present in a way.
Wow. Looking forward to that. Mm. Looking forward to that. That does it
Intriguing.
For us today on the program. Next man up with Jake Lyman coming up next. You're listening to 102.5 The Game.
See ya.